We have been having these conversations about paradigm shifts that Jesus is inviting his disciples into. A paradigm shift is this big change, and we have this story where Jesus, you guys have probably heard this before, where Jesus drives out the money changers, right? This is probably one of my favorites because it's one of the most repeated examples of Jesus just losing his cool. Jesus is sometimes portrayed in movies as like unfazed by the world. I'm like, he is not unfazed by this. He is flipping things over. He's really frustrated. And that's something, that Jesus is losing his cool. Jesus was arrested for a few things. This is the beginning of that story. In Jerusalem, this is one of the things that puts a target on his back, that people can identify him as this individual who is then described as a rabble-rouser, as a troublemaker. In my opinion, he's being identified by the authorities, by the powers that be, as this guy is a disruptor, not just of religious rules, but of commerce. This is politics, baby. Like, you don't mess with these things. And here he is. Jesus is doing something so demonstrative and powerful. And I have to ask, what about this moment made Jesus react this way? Why was it that this moment had him making a whip out of cords? What is it about this moment that he's throwing people out, flipping tables, spilling money everywhere? Has he not encountered religious authorities before? Has he not seen hypocrisy right in his face? And he's never reacted with, but he is here. Has he not encountered hunger, people who hunger? Has he not encountered people who have been left out, set aside, put on the margins for being different? Shouldn't that have moved him to this rage, this zeal? But it says here, he's got zeal for his father's house. I think Jesus is focusing on a matter that is of supreme importance to him. This seems to be central to his teachings, and that's why we've selected this as some sort of shift. He really wants to drive home a paradigm shift that's taking place right here that Jesus is promoting. I think what makes Jesus so mad is clear as crystal, because he says with his words, he is outraged that people have turned his father's house into this place of business, a market, an exchange. In order to be a good and faithful person, come here, do the things. If you don't have the thing, you can buy the thing. If you don't have a lot of money, you can buy a smaller thing. If you don't have even that much money, you can buy the smallest of things. But in order for you to fulfill all righteousness, in order to be a good and faithful person, come here, do the thing. We have a system for the thing. Make a sacrifice. Buy a dove. Offer your love to God in this offering. This week, we are talking about a paradigm shift that has infuriated Jesus, that he needs to say, we need to move from a focus on ritual to relationships. This transaction is devoid of a relationship to God, a relationship to one another. This story captures as if that Jesus has been impressing upon his disciples all along. If you think about how Jesus was feeding, if you think about how Jesus was healing, caring, welcoming, all the things he did, at the heart of this is a relationship with God and specifically his neighbor. Jesus is fed up with a practice he sees that has supported box ticking. Offering a sacrifice because it's mandatory to be a good person of faith. You have to come to the temple. And Jesus is torn up about this. That to come to the temple, you're not encountering a God who welcomes you. You're encountering a God who expects a transaction. You pay, you will receive righteousness. Jesus is so torn up about this religious industry that seems to prioritize a practice, an observance over this identity of who God is, over what observance this observance is for. A sacrifice is about acknowledging who we are and where good things come from. That God is a God who provides. We can offer sacrifice because our cup runneth over. No, not in these words. Sure, that's what it's about. But also pay for this. Jesus is seeking to highlight ritual itself is not the point. The relationship is. The ritual is meant to support the relationship. I'll give you an example of a great ritual that has lost that relationship. I was in North Dakota, and when I got there, there was this great tradition that I thought was so cool at this church. Pentecost, right? It's all the red and fire and stuff like that. When I was in Texas, they had a big bowl of fire that the intern had to carry in. I was the intern. Intimidating. This one was way less intimidating because what they did was they bought geraniums, a bunch of geraniums. You guys can picture a geranium in your head? Red geraniums. Whoa, all that color, right? And they'd have it all around the altar. They'd have it up front on stands, and it captured that vibe of the fires, the Holy Spirit, the spirit in this place. And it was great. And another tradition then from that was those flowers were then used. Outside there was a flower box in the shape of a cross, and there was a group of these faithful women gardeners who were like, we take the flowers from that service, and we plant it in the garden box. So it's kind of like the beautiful expression, the Holy Spirit leaving the building and out into the world where it takes root and grows. Guys, what powerful imagery that was. I was like, oh, beautiful. I'm learning about this. You know, the first year, I'm like, wow, what a cool thing. What a great thing. But by the time I had arrived, like many churches, there'd been some graying effect. And the folks that usually did that, some of them moved away. Some of them passed away. Some of the people who had originally done that lost some mobility. They weren't gardening anymore. There was really just one woman left from that original group of this Mission Start Church. And she was, I'll say this, a firecracker. Very frustrated to me. She goes, hey, it's coming up. She goes, I'm going to need somebody on Monday to help me plant those flowers because I can't do this all myself. And I went, tell me about this. So she told me that story that I just told you about what it was supposed to be. And she's now looking, where are the people that will help me with this? And I said, I have a great idea. Not just a hat rack. This has got ideas in it. What if on Sunday, we were at a church that had a great children's sermon, a lot of kids were like, what if on Pentecost Sunday we processed out by inviting parents and kids to come up and grab a flower and carry it out of the sanctuary to the flower bed that has been prepared by parents and kids and stuff like that who are into gardening? We have people who will do that. And what if they carried out the flowers in that procession, like carrying the flame of the Holy Spirit, and they planted it in the flower bed? You'd get all these people hearing the story of what this means, the significance of it. You'd share it with multiple generations. I did it. And she goes, no, I plan on Monday. Okay, my enthusiasm is taking a little kick. Okay, I'm going to say this louder and with more energy. What if this happened instead of planting it on Monday? And she goes, I don't even go to church on Sunday. I go on Saturday. What are you talking about? If we could just get some helpers on Monday, that'd be how we do it. And I'm like, guys, I had a really good idea. And that person departed, said, well, I'll think about it. I don't know. She left. And I was really heartbroken. I told her, I was like, bud, I'm not here to toot my own horn, but beep, beep, that's a pretty good idea. That's a, why? It's invaluable. This ritual is beautiful. It's a great practice. You should share it. And she goes, well, that's just not how I do it. Later, she did come back and go, I don't know what I was thinking. I think we know. She was mourning. It was a beautiful ritual. And here was this guy asking me to change that beautiful ritual. All the memories of her and her friends on Mondays, planting those flowers was being changed. I think there's a beautiful thing that happened in that ritual. But the ritual wasn't the point. It never was. And I'll say, we got to do that. It was lovely. We kept doing it while I was there. It was a great thing. I was really proud of it. I don't know if it's still done, but I like to hope it is, because it's a beautiful ritual. But the ritual itself was never the point. The relationships formed, that truly was powerful. The relationship between themselves and God, an understanding of the Holy Spirit, the relationship of one another to put their hands in the dirt together to grow this thing was powerful, holy. The ritual was not the point. We have a ritual coming up, right? We have a beautiful ritual of communion, welcoming children to the table, some for the first time. We have rituals around confirmation. And show of hands, who's gone through confirmation before? Now, put them down. Who loved confirmation? Right. When I've heard that before. Maybe Pastor Lawrence heard that before too. It wasn't a great thing for some people. For most people. A lot of people say, no, kids gotten real easy these days. I had to memorize this. I had to say this. I had to do this. It actually sounds pretty miserable. Is that the point of confirmation? No. A child will tell them, will lead them, right? The point is not that they go at the end of this, oh, I made it through confirmation. I'm finally done with confirmation. Confirmation is a starter's pistol. It's another beginning. We want kids to go through that hard work of personal work, relational work, of who they are, who God is, how they're going to bless their community, how they're going to grow within their faith. We want kids to end confirmation, not saying, oh, thank God I'm done, to I'm ready to begin something important. And I'm ready to be a part of that. I'm ready to join in. Relationship is the point. Not just the ritual. The ritual feeds the relationship. The ritual supports that relationship, and that's what we're about here. I greet a lot of you out front. I will let you know I'm not taking attendance. Even though it looks like I'm maybe doing that, I'm not taking attendance. I am grateful for everybody who comes to this faithfully and comes to worship, but coming to worship, just being here, is not the point. Ticking the box of, I went to worship because I'm supposed to go to worship, that's not the point. Point is to gather as a community of faith and worship God, to be formed by one another, to be formed by God together. We don't want just attendance and participation. We want leadership to form within you. We want you to recognize your gifts from God to bless the world, and you'll learn that together from one another, not just by showing up and doing the thing. Thank God that's not our story. Thank God that's what Jesus got fired up about, fed up with. I hope we also have a zeal that isn't just about our preferences around rituals. I love for us to express the same zeal and energy as Jesus, making sure our rituals never get in the way of our relationship to God and one another. Our rituals are meant to strengthen that relationship. We aren't here just for rituals. We're here for a relationship with God and one another. What did Jesus say? What's the most important commandment? Love God, and just like it, love neighbor. That's what we're about here. A story of hope and love, welcome and acceptance. It's a story about grace. It's a story about resurrection and new life. This isn't going to happen in only the holy halls we gather in. It's going to happen in our lives. It's going to happen in our ways and in our relationships with one another. And for that, I say thanks be to God. Amen.